The Survivor Specialists are back, and today we have episode 2 predictions and power rankings for Survivor Season 50. I am joined by Survivor 48's Mitch Guerra. We were going to do power rankings, but I think we're just going to talk about Kyle being caked up the entire time. Is that what we decided on today, Mitch?
I would love nothing more.
This man tears his Achilles, and all I see on his Instagram now is people talking about his backside, to put it nicely. I'm like, my God, I got to get Mitch in here to clear some things up and talk about, is this guy good at Survivor or is he just good at trolling? I don't know, but here we go.
Yeah, he just looks great out in Fiji.
Yeah, that's it. It's so funny. I love, though, you know what? Good for Kyle for taking it in stride and taking it as a good sport there, because going out the way he did is brutal, and I feel so bad for him. But what were you seeing from that first episode, Mitch? What did you see from your people from season 48?
Dude, I told y'all, I said that when Kyle goes back out there, even though he just won a week before filming had started, like, he's just so good. He's so smooth and charismatic, and literally despite being one of three people who had won on season 50, like, everyone was still wanting to, like, work with him.
Well, and I think that was so clear from, you know, in his exit press, he was talking about how he was pretty sure it was going to be Aubrey who was going to end up going home had they gone to tribal council. And, you know, we've seen this before where we've seen people maybe in the premiere have bad episodes, have good episodes because they're setting up a win or something like that. And obviously Kyle comes in, and who knows, maybe with Stephanie, with Colby, with Genevieve, maybe they're trying to set up Kyle as maybe the reason why that person goes on to win, or one of the things they have to overcome. This didn't feel like it was an edit thing, though. This felt like it was truly Kyle was in control of that tribe.
He really was, dude, which sucked so bad. That has to be brutal. Like, oh, that's so tough.
And you've been a fan since what? You started season one, or did you start after season one?
I started in Africa.
Okay, so you right around the same time as me. Mm-hmm. So I started in Australia. Second episode was my first episode. You know, I'm watching this alliance come together, and I'm going, oh, my God, I'm going to get Kyle. I'm going to get Genevieve, who everybody thought was doomed. I'm going to get Colby and Stephanie, two of the old schoolers, like one of the old schoolers, which I'm most excited to see, and Q. Like,
And throw Q in the mix. I was like, there's no way. There's no way that all of those personalities are going to be able to, like, work together.
And you know how everybody always talks about nowadays, where it's like, you know, production, it's in the hands of the fans, but it feels like production still has their finger on it, whatever. Yeah. It's almost like, you know, that was going too well. The fans wanted that so bad, and production was like, we got to interfere. Put that wall a little bit steeper on Kyle's side there. brutal.
What's so crazy is, like, on our first challenge, when we got on the beach on 48, like, he had, like, similar issues. So it's like, Kyle, the wall just, like, hates you, man.
I know. Don't go 100% the next time you go out there, Kyle. Because I'll tell you what, based on, you know, him talking to Jeff, or what he has said in his post game stuff, if he was arguing with Jeff saying, I'm a lawyer, I'll sign a waiver, whatever.
Yeah.
Something tells me the next time they do a returning player season, Kyle's probably going back out again. Because now we already know he can win, but now it does feel like a missed opportunity of, could we have seen a 2-time winner, or was he going to play a JT heroes versus villains game? And I mean that respectfully. I think JT gets a lot of hate for that game. Yeah. JT came in as one of very few winners and was able to control his tribe. Like, was Kyle about to do the same thing? And look, JT got a third try out there. So,
yeah. And then I feel like Camilla is doing great. She's actually having some social conversations at the beginning of the game, which she really struggled with the last time she played. I am fired up about her and Dee and Tiffany working together. Holy cow. And I honestly don't see that blue tribe getting beat because of Jonathan and coaches in the mix. And like, that seems like a really good tribe.
Yeah, I that's reflected in my power rankings here. I have the lowest person I have there is 18. So I have four people from the other tribes below the lowest person on blue. I would be surprised if blue loses. And I think they're looking good. Camilla is interesting because Camilla was so quiet in this episode. Her, Dee, and Tiffany were all really quiet, yeah. But then they all seem like they're working together. So I'm curious how that one's going to shake out. I do think ultimately what's going to happen, though, based on watching this first episode and knowing that not this week's episode, but the episode after is called Did You Vote for a Swap? That, you know, CBS already released the name of that episode. Something tells me the reason why we barely heard from these people on Blue is because Blue is never going. And so we're going to find out more about Camilla's game and everything like that once she actually gets to that, once she gets to that swap or whatever it's going to be. Because that tribe, I mean, Dee's the strongest woman out there. Jonathan's the strongest guy out there. I just don't see how they're going to lose.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like just having both of those and Tiffany, who is also super strong, and Camilla and Chrissy are great at puzzles. Holy cow, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Orange Tribe with Joe. I feel like he's in a good spot at the moment. Like everyone just watched him get bamboozled on season 48. So honestly, I think he's in a great spot in the game. I think a bunch of people are going to want to work with Joe because he is like going to be honest with you. He's going to find some people to work with, and he's going to probably play with you the whole time, but I feel like the tribe he's on isn't really physically strong, which I think could hurt him.
So with Joe, it seemed like he was bonding with Savannah, right? It seemed like him and Savannah were getting along together, but it felt like they both didn't really feel that the best move was to get rid of Jenna. It felt like they wanted to go Sari or Ozzy. Do you think Joe made the right move here? Do you think he was playing too similarly to how he played in 48? Like, what do you think about Joe's decision and not really pushing to go with what he wanted?
Well, Joe usually got what he wanted on 48, to be completely honest. I think what Joe was apprehensive about with Jenna is Joe likes to play with people who are like pretty chill, and he can like have an idea of what is going to happen. And I just think ultimately he was concerned about what Jenna like could do. But yeah, I think having Jenna go out for them is going to probably hurt a bunch.
Yeah, I know. I feel like it was such an interesting episode because I'm watching the episode and I'm going, you have a chance to get rid of Sari this early in the game. And I know Sari's a legend, and I know the fan base would have been pissed if
would hate you.
Yeah, forever.
Forever, but, actually.
But at the same time, I'm like, you have a chance to take out a titan of the game, one of the best to ever play. And I get that there's a lot of game left, but why not take the shot? Like, you think about Game Changers, she never loses in the tribal portion, which is why she doesn't ever get in trouble. She goes home because there's no votes. Like, it's so random. And so we just watched her play AU versus the world.
Yeah.
And she makes fire. Like, why would you not take the shot at the queen of who's on the island when you have the chance?
Yeah. And the fact that Ozzy is like openly advocating for her so hard is wild, that you guys would just be like, sure. Okay. But whenever you're out there, it's just easier moving forward in the game with like people who you can't anticipate mm-hmm. Like what's happening.
Yeah. So, all right, we got two things before we keep going into this. I got to make sure we get the super chat up, and then we got another important comment here. But we got Jack Wolf saying, Mitch, what's your favorite movie? Whenever you get a super chat, we have to throw it up. So what is it?
My favorite movie? I'm going to say my favorite movie is Shawshank Redemption.
Okay, there you go. My wife hasn't seen that. I just bought the DVD so that she has to watch it now.
So it's so good, man.
One of my all time favorites too. And then this one's more important. Bye for the Hobbit. Mitch and Say, rumors true.
Listen, you should believe everything you see on the internet.
That's how I've always operated, and it's never led me astray yet. You know, I believe every single thing I see on the internet. So even conflicting views, I'm like, no, both of those must be true. It's on the internet.
Exactly.
I love that. All right. So there was so much that happened in this first episode. And obviously we talked through the 48 people, kind of see where they're set up. Cause those are your people, you know them, you've seen them play, you played with them. You were aligned with all of them in some way, got all the way to final five with all three of them. But let's talk about some of the other stuff that happened in this episode. And I'm going to start it off with our first air quotes celebrity appearance. We have the Billie Eilish boomerang idol. What did you think about this idol and how it operated? And do you think that these are on more than one tribe, or do you think Genevieve found the only one?
I feel like for the game to operate fairly, mm-hmm. I feel like there has to be something else out there too. I'm not saying there's the exact same idol, but has to be something equivalent on every beach. But honestly, I really enjoy it just because it is something different. And it changes the way that all of these players are going to have to, it's going to change how you play it. So I'm honestly really interested to see like how it plays out.
Do you think it was the right move to give it to Ozzy?
No, I don't think it was the correct move to give it to Ozzy, because I feel like he's just not going anywhere mm-hmm. on his original tribe. And he is someone who, if he does make it to the merge, like, he could go on an immunity challenge streak, so he couldn't even have to use it. But history says that he's had idols, so Is he going to play it accurately? We'll see.
Yeah, I feel like what you're saying there of him probably not going in the pre-merge makes sense, because that's my concern for Genevieve. If you're Genevieve, you want to get that back in your hand as quickly as possible.
As quickly as you can.
And so by giving it to Ozzy, I mean, Ozzy's never gone home in the pre-merge portion of the game unless he asked to be voted out, which he did in South Pacific so that he could game the system and get back in, right?
Yeah.
And so the odds of Ozzy getting voted out in the pre-merge are so incredibly low. One, because his tribe tends to win, and when they don't, he's useful enough that he sticks around.
Yeah.
So you give it to Ozzy, and now you have to come up against those obstacles in what could be the longest pre-merge in the history of the show, because we're starting with 24 people. I feel like you almost want to try to give it to I don't want to go against your girl here, but I feel like you do want to give it to a Camilla. You want to give it to a Savannah. Like, Savannah's an unknown entity. Why not give it to Savannah? Because the odds are people are going to be looking at her. And with, you know, I think Shot in the Dark and stuff is still in play on this season. I'm not sure, actually, because he hasn't said anything. But it's like with these different things, they're not going to go, Savannah, you're done. So I think you'd want to give it to one of the weaker people, or one of the more threatening from maybe a strategic sense. Like, even if Christian might have made more sense. I feel like Ozzy is a very risky move. And I know that Genevieve or Kyle had said in his postgame press, he really did help Genevieve come to that decision. And I don't know. I feel like that's a risky one. Cause if you're Genevieve, you're one of the biggest threats in the entire game. And now you might not get that idol opportunity to get that idol back till final 14 or 15 or 16. It's a long time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, that is so interesting.
Yeah. I know, I'm worried about that one, but I'm happy for Genevieve that she's at least in a good spot, because she was the one that a lot of us coming in were really excited from the new era to see play again. And you're assuming that she's going to be a disaster because she's one of the biggest threats stepping on that island. She's almost being treated like a winner, even though she's not.
Yeah.
So
you're right.
All right. So this is going to be a long power ranking, so we might as well get into it early, and then we can keep discussing all the players as we go. If you're a top tier patron, this is the beginning of the Power Rankings game. The Power Rankings link for Real TV Fantasy was sent to the top tier patron group chat on patreon.com. So make sure you go check it out there. It's the only place I'm sending it. So if you're not checking it out there, you're not going to log in. So far, only 15 people have done it, which is much smaller than our fantasy game. So make sure you do that. So get in there. We are ranking these 1 to 22. 1 is just who you think is the safest. 22 is who you think is going home. You get the amount of points based on the place that the person goes. Whoever has the most points at the end of the year wins. So, Mitch, who do you have as the safest person coming out of the premiere?
The safest person coming out of the premiere is Joe. He is not going anywhere anytime soon, even if his tribe continues losing. He's not going anywhere. So I'm going to say Joe Hunter is the safest person on the beach on day 4.
Yeah. So, all right, that feels like favoritism. You know, all right, fine. You know, yeah, I know. Right. And then Camilla is the second. No.
Hey, I would too. I would.
I know. I love it. Well, as you're doing your favoritism, I don't have Joe much lower. I mean, look, ranking 22, this is the most I've ever done for a Power Rankings episode. Previously it was 19. So here we are doing 22. For me, I'm also playing favorites, and I'm going with my preseason winner pick. And I think he came out of this episode looking extra nice. I'm going with Rick Devins. I thought Rick Devins had a great episode. Rick, Christian, Emily controlled that vote. And I do agree with you that Joe's in a good spot on that tribe, because Joe is the big physical powerhouse. But I think that Devins was calling the shots. And I think that you'd have to go against Devins and Christian. And what that tribe showed in episode 1 is they want unity across their votes. Devins and Christian aren't going to turn on each other. And Emily's probably not going to either. So I don't think you ever go for Devins. So I have Devins in the number 1 spot, looking the best after week 1, both figuratively and literally. You know,
there we go.
Yeah. But look at that. Both of us going to the tribe that actually lost immunity. So I think that's pretty interesting. But then again, we know the most about them. We know their dynamics. We know Joe and Devins are safe.
You're right.
I'm going to do my 2 before you, because I have Christian. So I'm doing that whole alliance. I'm just doing not Emily though yet, but I have Devins, then Christian. I love that this bromance happened in episode one. This is exactly what the fans wanted. This is really fun. Like, these are two of the biggest characters in the history of the show. And I know that Devin's was more polarizing just because his confessional count was so much higher than everybody else on Edge of Extinction. But watching these two go out there and just like have a good time and have their bites and be in control, I loved it. Christian had the really emotional moment about his son. Yeah, I'm all in on both of them. So I got Devin's one, Christian two, starting off with this Orange Tribe.
Let's go. Yeah. It just seemed so genuine. Mm-hmm. Like, both of them were so excited to, like, be on a tribe together. Like, everything just came across as, like, so authentic. And then just adding in Emily. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see how those three move in.
Cool. All right. So who do you have as your number two?
My number two is the big guy himself, Jonathan Young, who looks like an absolute unit. He is making a David Kenny look absolutely tiny.
I mean, most people do make David Kenny look absolutely tiny, though. That's the problem for David Kenny, right? I mean, that's not on us. Yeah, so were you impressed with Jonathan? Not from a physical standpoint, but with his confessionals and with some of the things he was saying. Were you more impressed with Jonathan than you expected to be?
Yes. He seemed a lot more understanding of how to play Survivor. This time, it seemed like he had some conversations with someone who has played the game a few times.
Yeah, I know. Boston Rob wrote him a love letter that he got to read on the plane, which was very funny. And actually, Boston Rob had the last point Boston Rob made in that letter. If you're going to play Survivor, if you're listening to this and you're going to be on 51 or 52, it's the greatest point. You're the only one out there who wants you to win. I think people forget that when they play the game.
Yeah. You're so correct. Yeah. And I feel like he also said, like shut up. Mm-hmm. Like, just shut up. Like, sometimes people just can't do it. Like, they just literally play themselves. Out.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. And Jonathan was definitely coming in. I mean, the 42 cast is pretty open about not really being a big fan of Jonathan. I know most of his cast doesn't like him. I know Mike Turner does, but you know, I think he's coming in and he probably has to do the most damage control coming into the season of like, no, I'm not what my cast says I am. Look at me. I can be this other guy. Yeah. And it seems like he is getting along with his tribe. Now, again, episode one, big guy, probably not going home anytime soon, which definitely helps his case. And maybe they're trying to build up his story a little bit because he is going to be around for a while. But I was impressed with him, honestly. I thought he had a really good episode. He might have seen more, like you said, game savviness or game intelligence than we saw all of season 42. So that was pretty good.
You are right there.
Who do you have at number three?
Three, we got Christian Hubicki. The amount of people who watched 50 that messaged me were like, we love him so much. I'm like, yeah, he is a good dude.
Yeah, I hope he sticks around. I felt like Christian coming into this game had one of the bigger targets on him for no reason. Right. Like, he played a good game in David versus Goliath. He's not an all-time strategist. He's not an all-time social player. He's not an all-time related anything. I mean, he finished what, 7th, 8th place. Like, he didn't do that well. And I think that he had a little bit of a bigger target than he deserved. But I think his just natural charisma really popped through here. And I know when you talk about like nerds who play Survivor in quotes, right? A lot of times they're so socially awkward that they actually like push people away and then they have to like find their way back in. Yeah. Christian does the opposite. Like, Christian leans into it so hard that is immediately endearing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because he works at the college. I don't know what it is, but it just works for him so well. So I'm glad we both have Christian very high up here. And are you saying then that the behemoths on this season are Joe, Jonathan, and Christian? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
David Kinney lookalikes?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Love that. I love that. I love that mentality. All right. Well, I'm sticking with my favoritism, and I'm going to this Teal tribe, which again, I kind of talked about how I don't think they're going to lose. So I have them all ranked pretty high. But I'm going to start off with number one, and this one might be a little surprising because he's probably going to throw a tantrum in this episode, but there's nobody who can survive a tantrum better than Coach Ben Wade. So I'm going with Coach. I'm putting him at number three. Huge episode for him in this first episode. And I think, too, it's the honor and integrity thing, but then he's stealing a key from Ozzie and he's getting out of there and he's playing a little bit goofier this time, but a little bit more knowingly. Like his South Pacific game was very serious, very dark, whatever. This season, it feels like, you know, when he's talking about, that's pretty cool that you guys get to do that now. I'd love to be able to see what it is. Like, it's pretty cool. You guys are going to get to flip that. That's cool. As he's walking away with his tribe supplies, I enjoyed this version of Coach a lot. And so I feel like Coach is long for this game. I feel like he's on the best tribe. If he gets swap screwed, he gets swap screwed. But
yeah,
I thought Coach had a great first episode, and I'm excited to see what happens
next. Yeah, I as well. I also put him down as number four. Okay. He isn't going anywhere. I think there are other people who come across as a lot more threatening than Coach does, and I feel like from all of the pre-game interviews, like everyone was excited about potentially working with him. So I feel like he isn't going any.
Yeah. And it seems like somebody had said on the podcast, like, was it smart of Mike White to bring that up to Coach in front of everybody? And like, I honestly think it was, because everybody wants to work with Coach anyway. Yeah. So if you bring that up in front of Coach and Coach throws a tantrum, everybody's still going to be willing to work with Coach. Like, it doesn't really matter. And now you get Coach a little bit on his heels.
Yeah.
Where Coach is somebody, a lot of people laugh at it, but Coach is somebody who could win Survivor.
Yeah.
He almost won his last season. So you got to get a little dirt on Coach, but you still want to keep Coach around. So I don't know. I feel like Mike White doing that wasn't the worst thing in the world in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Just because of how Coach is. But well, Mitch, I mean, you took a lot of heat on the internet, one for making your big move, but two for saying you wanted an all male final three. And so far,
No. Let's change how you said that. Hold on. Somebody asked me what was my what would be the craziest like thing that happens on our season, and I said it would be wild if it was a final three of just men because it hadn't been done in a long time. I didn't say I wanted it. The amount of people who told me to go kill myself because of that answer was wild.
Isn't it wild though? And I don't mean to like get into the gender thing here, but like if you say you want an all-female final three, it's like, woohoo, that's awesome. You say you want an all male final three and it's, I hope you go kill yourself. Like
literally it was the wildest reactions. I literally didn't even think about like how it would come across at all. But someone said, hey, like, what are your crazy predictions for this season? And I was like, I think it'll be all men. And everyone was like, he's a misogynist, he's this, he's that. And I'm like, that is probably the farthest thing from the truth that you could have said about me. And literally, I played with so many girls on our season to where I'm like, all right, it's out there, but yeah.
Well, now I said this and now I got Mitch like reliving trauma. So hopefully we're all good. But my point was going to be the first seven people we've mentioned are all men. So it is time. We're not beating the misogynist charges right now. And I will say this, look, our episode that we just did, our recap episode, biggest recap episode we've had since the season 40 finale. I think it's like a top 10, top 15 recap episode we've had in the history of the show. So I'm really happy that so many people have come back and are really finding us. Like, a lot of people going, what happened to Alexa? It's like, okay, it's been a while since you've been here. So it's been nice. So I say this lovingly to the Survivor community. There are some people out there who really just like, you need to ease up, and you need to go outside for a second, because, you know, some of the things that people say on the internet about Survivor just scared the ever living shit out of me. Cause I'm like, you all don't actually think that, or you don't actually feel that way, do you? It's really, really bad. So no death threats this season, huh? No death threats.
Hopefully not.
All right. All right. So anyway, my number four, all of that is to say, I finally am picking a woman. And we're going to go with the strongest woman in the game on the Best Tribe, who I actually think benefits a lot from Kyle going home. It might seem it's a very indirect benefit, but with three winners coming out in the season, there was always going to be that feeling of, should we get rid of the winner? Should we get rid of the winner? Should we get rid of the winners? Well, one winner is now gone. So I think that D really benefits from Kyle being gone. Because you could sit there and you could say, and the reason I don't think Savannah maybe benefits as much is because Savannah, is your phone vibrating? Is that your phone?
No, sorry.
No, it's all good. I just didn't know because I saw you look over. But Savannah doesn't benefit as much because people don't know her game.
Yeah.
Kyle and D both came in as dominant winners. And I think that D really benefits from Kyle going, because now you can always say, well, we can get D later. We can get D later. Like, and she's always going to be somebody people are willing to vote out. And she's always going to be the biggest shield. Kyle's now gone as that shield. So you almost are forced to use D as your winner shield. If we can't let her get too close to the end, she's good at immunities, all of that. So I'm putting her at number four. I think she's in a good spot. And she's on the tribe that I don't think goes to tribal counts.
Yes, I agree with everything that she just said.
And then I will jump ahead of you a little bit here, because I have your two guys. I go five, Jonathan, six, Joe. Yeah. So, you know, everything you've already said, they're really, really, really strong. They're really, really, really physical. Maybe as you get closer to the merge, you start looking at getting rid of them. But where we are right now, no way. No way you're getting rid of them. And I do think, look, Joe is using his thinking cap. I keep using that phrase. He was using his thinking cap in this episode. I think Joe was... You know, he was at least shown as being more socially aware than he was probably throughout all of 48.
Yeah. For number five, I am going with the lady. I'm going with Tiffany. Okay. I think right now on her tribe, she is the woman who is the safest option. If for some crazy reason that tribe loses, you could justify sending Camilla home. You could justify sending D home. But at the moment, I don't really think you have a good reason to send Tiffany home yet.
I agree. I have Tiffany a little bit lower just because she was so quiet in this episode. I'm like, is she going to Monica Padilla, where it's like, she shouldn't, like, everybody was kind of confused she was there, and then she doesn't really do anything anyway and goes out pre-merge. I feel like Tiffany's got legs in this game. Again, I don't feel like, because that tribe's not going to go to tribal, because there's really no dynamics that need to go into that, I feel like that's helping big time with, you know, or that's why their storyline was so small.
Yeah.
Tiffany was interesting though, because Tiffany was the biggest question mark of the whole cast. I think almost that's like universally agreed. I think a lot of people think she has a lot of potential. She got voted out with an idol. Like, her closest ally goes on to win the game. There's a lot of potential. Tiffany was my preseason winner pick for 46. I could see her winning this season.
Totally.
What I thought was interesting though, is that in this episode, the editors didn't really like make a point to almost like justify why Tiffany's back. She didn't get that confessional of, you know, I got voted out with an idol last time. I'm so pissed. You guys are not ready for what's about to hit. We really just got, I'm happy D's here. Now I'm going to go talk to Camilla. Like, it was so quiet. And I wish they would have given her just a little bit more so that it really highlighted why they believe in her to be on this legendary cast.
Yeah.
So, all right. Or it could be that she kept saying time to everybody else and they just said, nope. We got no time for you, Tiffany. Sorry. You get one confessional. That's it. Ben Katzman was actually the one editing the episode. And he was like, Tiffany only gets one confessional.
Oh, my God. I would have been pissed out there. Yeah, I'm like, can I get an extension, please? I stutter a little bit.
I love that.
Can you imagine? Can you fucking imagine? I would. That'd be.
See, I actually, that would have been great though if you would have been on 46. Could you imagine you sitting at Final Tribal and Tiffany saying, "All right, you all have a minute," and then Tiffany's yelling at you? I don't think Tiffany would be on this season because I think Jeff would have been like, "We want no villains, Tiffany," and you totally screwed yourself on that one.
That's funny. Number six for me, I'm going Emily. I think she is the safest girl on her tribe at the moment because of her relationship with Rick and Christian, which is exciting. Like, I feel like everyone wanted Emily to come back after 45, and she was like, no, I'm never gonna play again. And look at her now. She's back in Fiji. She's in a great spot, which is very unusual for her. The last time she played, she had a rough start. So I'm excited. I think it'll be interesting to see how Emily changes how she played.
Yeah, season 46 premiere, Emily looked me dead in the eye. I was standing. She was right here. And she said, why would I play again? What do I have to gain? And here she is on season 50. So she's the only survivor who's ever lied straight to my face. And I believed what she said because it seemed believable. Like, what did she have to gain? But that just shows, I think I'd be good at Survivor, but I can't even tell when Emily's lying to me and we're, you know, both sober standing in a venue watching Survivor. So what the hell do I know? I really was happy though. Obviously, her and Christian have a little bit of connection because of the RJP community and all that, right? I think they've done like some of those games and all that. I was happy with her episode. I thought she had a really solid one. And I'm going to be honest, a lot of the new era people that we were most excited to see, I think had really good episodes. I know there were some questionable choices in the new era that had people going, why is that person here? Why is this person here? But like Emily, Genevieve, they had great episodes. Yeah. And I think that's something to be excited about as a Survivor fan.
Totally.
So I'll do my next one. And then I guess I'll let you do back to back. But my seven is Genevieve, who I just mentioned. When this season started, I think for winner chances, I said Genevieve's probably got the 22nd, 23rd, 24th best chance to win. Nobody's letting her get to the end. They're going to treat her like a winner. She's super fresh in everybody's mind. She's a super strategic player, whatever. After watching that first episode, I was like, oh my God, like a Survivor fan, are we about to get our dream of Genevieve actually like making a run here? Because I thought Genevieve was going to fall into the Rob Sesternino, super beloved, and then comes back the second time, gets no chance to play the game, and then just kind of gets forgotten, like as a Survivor player, at least. Obviously, Rob Sesternino is not forgotten, but as a Survivor player, he's not coming back after that. Yeah. And I was worried that was going to happen to Genevieve. And I watched this first episode and I'm like, man, she has connections everywhere, all over that island. And the only one who doesn't seem to like her is Aubrey, but Aubrey pretty much has her and Angelina right now. So I'm not too worried about that for Genevieve. I think Genevieve's in a great spot. I got her at seven. I can't believe I have her this high. And I got to do this before there's a tribe swap. And the other people are like, why are we not voting out Genevieve?
Totally.
So love her.
All right. My seven and eight are D and Camilla. I think that tribe is going to get carried for a few episodes, and you know, I got to show some love to the lady from season 45 and 48, you know? So I'm excited for both of them. I'm excited that they're excited to work together. Also was in New York City with me when I went and did the New York City Marathon. She did it as well, which was so fun. And you know, I got to pull for my girl Camilla. I think Kyle going home helps her out a lot. It like truly does. If she can survive the first half of the game, she could go on a run for sure. Like she's so good, dude. So I'm hoping that she's on a good tribe, which she is at the moment. So just hoping nothing crazy happens.
I loved her confessional about, I don't want to do the honor and integrity thing again. I had to do that all of season 48. I don't want to do that again. Do you think there's a chance Camilla could overplay her way out of the game because she is so hungry to just play the game? I mean, she really didn't get to do a lot on 48.
No, no. I don't think she is going to overplay because our season, you couldn't. Like, at all. Like, she wanted to play the game so much, but she realized that, like, you have to make the right move when it makes sense. So I feel like she has definitely matured a lot as a player. Oh man, it just fires me up that she's out there.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm hoping Camilla can find a way. I mean, I always have to underestimate Camilla. It's just what I do. I mean, I did that on 48. She almost won the season. Kind of doing that a little bit here again. I still feel like that Teal Tribe's not going to lose, but I'm just so worried, like, with Camilla. She was so dangerous on 48. And you look at that tribe, and that is such a physical look at us. And you have Chrissy, who's so good at puzzles. Do you need Chrissy and Camilla? And that's what worries me for Camilla. But I hope you're right. Do you think Camilla can win the game? Like, I know it's still super early, but you feel like she can still win it?
Yeah, I think if she could get past the first few tribals, I really do think that she could go on a deep, a deep run, because a lot of other competitors could use her as a shield, which is crazy to say that, but yeah, like, I think people are worried about her, but they're gonna be a lot more other people too.
Mm-hmm. All right. My number eight, I go Stephanie. Feel like it was a really good episode for Stephanie. She was really good in the physical challenge. She still got that. There's no doubt about that. I mean, she killed that first portion of her, like, her hero leg, air quotes. She killed that. I also feel like she ended up on a good tribe for her personality and her mentality. I think that's pretty much the biggest thing. Like, her and Colby, they're aligned. Q, I think, likes Stephanie, right?
He does.
I think Rizzo likes Colby and Stephanie. Aubrey and Angelina, we didn't really hear interact. But here was the other one. Who was the person who found the Billie Eilish boomerang idol with Genevieve? It was Stephanie. Stephanie's the one who put it in Genevieve's bag, which they were hiding from Rizzo. I love Stephanie's spot in this game. I also think because Stephanie has lost at a final tribal and she was terrible on Heroes Villains. I think those two things make it so that she's in such a better spot and she's not on anybody's radar right now. And the fact that she's in the alliance and she still has a vote, unlike Colby and Q, I feel like she's in a really, really good spot. So I'm going with Stephanie at number eight. And yeah, I feel like she's in, Blake would be doing his gross boys dance right now. I feel like she's in such a good position coming out of this.
Yeah. On my number nine, I agree with you for that whole group. But for number nine, I went with my boy from Texas, Colby Donaldson. It was really fun watching him, his comments towards Rizzo at the beginning of the episode, and then watching the conversation they had at the end of the episode. I like that the producers put that in there. That's showing some great arc from him. So I think with Kyle out, I feel like that puts Colby in an okay spot, because like you have to have him there.
Yeah. Yeah, I have Colby a little bit lower specifically because he doesn't have his vote. Otherwise, I would have had him way higher because I feel like it was a good episode for him. And you've gotten to meet Colby. I know you had posted the picture not too long ago. Are you surprised him and Rizzo are getting along now? Like, does that surprise you, or did you see them kind of pairing up? Because they started off no, and now they feel like they're like Colby's saying to him, whatever you need. And now Rizzo's looking at him as a father figure. Does that surprise you or no?
No. When I was able to like hang out with Colby, like he had just got home from season 50. And like he was just like so supportive of me and like wanted to hear about the experience I had, and he like walked me through how the experience was for him when he was out there the first few times. And I just feel like he's at a place where he has experienced so much, and he like wants to like give back.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Well, I really like that. I thought that was probably my favorite moment of the episode. Was just Colby and Rizzo. Like, it's, you're so annoying. And then it's like, I judged him too early. He's just having a good time. And it's kind of like bitter old man who just realizes he is being a bitter old man. And it's like, stop doing that. Like, And I thought Colby had a great episode. I know a lot of people were worried about him. What's he going to be like without Jerry? Is he going to be fun? Is he going to be boring? Colby's got charisma, man.
He really
does. I can watch Colby read the phone book. I don't care. Yeah. That's my guy. Look, I had Devin's as my winner pick. Colby's who I want to win. I mean, that's my childhood hero there. So I'm looking at him. I have him a little bit lower. When that episode started, I'm like, oh my God, Colby's in the alliance of five. And then the episode ended, and I'm like, Colby's in the alliance of maybe five, and two people don't have votes. What the hell is happening?
Wild change of events.
Terrible. Terrible. All right, for my 9 and 10, two people you already mentioned. I have Emily at 9, Tiffany at 10. Emily, again, you know, I feel like she's actually playing more of a game. I feel like Tiffany, I'm putting her in 10 because she just, that tribe's not going to lose him because we barely heard from her. It'd be crazy to get rid of somebody on a returning player season that gets one confessional in a 3-hour premiere in episode number 2. I just feel like that would be wild. But Emily, I'll put a spot ahead of Tiffany just because I feel like Emily's actually in good with her alliance. And right now, like as I'm rolling through this, I'm not worried about any of these first 10 people I've mentioned. Yeah. Like if any of them went home this week, I would be absolutely floored because I just do not see it happening.
Yeah. I hope not, at least. Shit, that'd be terrible.
I know.
For number 10, I have Stephanie, and 11, I have Genevieve. I feel like out of that tribe, those are the people I feel most confident in at the moment. I feel like, though, this tribe is probably going back to tribal maybe once or twice pretty soon, which sucks because I, like, genuinely enjoy everyone on this tribe. So I just don't know what's going to happen. But I feel like Colby, Stephanie, and Genevieve are the only people that are really close. Mm-hmm. Aubrey and Angelina have a relationship, but like, who else? And then I don't know exactly where Q and Rizzo are in all of it. So it'll be interesting, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the problem for Q is it doesn't matter where he is because he doesn't have a vote. You know what I mean? And that's the bummer for him. Rizzo is actually in the swing position now because you're down to seven people. Colby and Q don't have votes. Angelina and Aubrey feel like they're on one side. Stephanie and Genevieve are on the other. The only other person on that tribe who can vote is Rizzo. Yeah, it's crazy. Isn't that crazy? Like Rizzo in the swing position?
You're right.
It's nuts.
Who? Oh, shoot.
Yeah, I know. That's why we need the tribe swap, because I need Colby to stay alive. That's what I need. Yeah, out of nowhere, Rizzo found himself in a really good position, which I don't have him much lower. We're almost to him. But at my number 11, I'm going with the man with the six pack, and that is Mike White.
Who's looking good as hell.
When he said, I've been waiting months to do this, that killed me. Because you know, I mean, look, Mike, with all the success of the White Lotus, he's loaded right now. So he got his personal trainer. He's doing whatever. And you know that he was like, no, like, I will not eat a carb for 6 months if that's what it takes to look really good. He looks like you go look at him on David versus Goliath and then look at him right now. They're not the same person. It's so funny.
Not at all.
Jonathan looking at him and going, Mike's jacked, is like the funniest thing.
Yeah, my favorite part of that whole scene was Jonathan, who looks how he does.
Yeah.
And then Mike White looking incredible as well. And then Charlie, like, standing there next to him, just like, what the hell, guys? Like,
yeah, Charlie, the D1 runner who's like 2 years removed or like 5 years removed from being a D1 runner, right? It's just so funny. And right now, since you know you like to bring these things up about who could beat up David Kinney, like Mike White versus David Kinney in a plank contest, who you got?
Oh, Mike White for sure. He would crush him. David is just I haven't seen him lately, but he looks like he's added a few extra pounds. So,
okay. Gotcha. That's because now he's a pilot. You know, yeah. he's not just going to the gym and drinking milk all the time. Now he's actually flying people too. I, you know what, whatever happens after season 50, get me a David Kinney versus Mike White plank contest. That's all I want. Somehow get that. I
love that.
Who you got at 12?
12. Oh, shoot. Okay, well, after 12, I honestly have zero clue, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But 12, we're going with the man, the myth, the legend, Riz God Baby. Yeah, I think he's in a good spot, which is wild to say that, because if Kyle was there, I feel like he is pretty expendable. But I think with Kyle out and everything else that has happened, like that whole tribe's dynamics has drastically changed. So I feel like he's actually in a pretty good spot. Everyone else on his tribe that I haven't spoke about, I'm honestly pretty concerned for.
Yeah, I have Angelina and Aubrey really low. And Q not having the vote has me concerned for him too, because he spent the whole night on exile. So, you know, being away for that long and now with fewer votes, who knows what could happen. Yeah, I have Rizzo at 14. So I go Ozzy at 12, Colby at 13, Rizzo at 14. So Ozzy is really the only one that you haven't said yet that I now have said. After Rizzo, I feel like it's a little bit more up in the air. But yeah, I'm putting Ozzy at 12 because that tribe's first vote was solely based on, we want to vote somebody out that will be a unanimous vote. Like, that's why Jenna ultimately went, because Ozzy and Ceree wouldn't go against each other. Yeah. Ozzy and Ceree still aren't going to go against each other. So if that stays the most important thing, then you're not going to be able to vote out Ozzy. And if you do decide to vote out Ozzy, Ceree's probably going to tell him it's coming. And Ozzy has an idol now, thanks to Genevieve. So I like I like Ozzy's spot, actually, even though I, you know, I mean, he also 19 confessionals in the first episode, so it'd be crazy for him to go episode two. But then Colby, I have at 13 because I just, you know, I refuse to believe that Colby could be in trouble. And then 14 with Rizzo, it's like I explained just a couple minutes ago, he's now in the swing position, essentially, on that tribe. So if that tribe goes, Rizzo could be the one who's determining the fate of who takes control in that tribe. Now, I don't think he knows that people lost their votes. I don't think he knows that Colby and Cube don't have votes. But still, you know, if he can put it together, he's in a great spot. So those are my top 14. I'm really confident there. And then it opens up a little bit for me.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at weightwatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
This episode is brought to you by Intuit QuickBooks Bill Pay. You didn't start a business to spend your Sundays chasing invoices and manual data entry. But as you grow, accounts payable starts to feel like a full-time job you never applied for. Bills pile up, approvals get lost in email, and your vendors are constantly asking, "Where's my check?" It's distracting, it's stressful, and it's keeping you from the work that actually moves the needle. Intuit QuickBooks Bill Pay is the exit ramp. QuickBooks Bill Pay automates the busy work that eats your calendar by bringing every bill, every vendor, and every payment into one organized dashboard. Stop chasing details and start seeing the big picture. Know exactly what's due, who needs to sign off, and how it impacts your cash flow before the money leaves your bank. Vendors can even manage their own details so you stay in control of how and when you pay. Grow with confidence and put your AP on autopilot in QuickBooks. Learn more at QuickBooks.com/BillPay. Again, that's QuickBooks.com/BillPay. Terms apply. Money movement services are provided by Intuit Payments, Inc., licensed as a money transmitter by the New York State Department of Financial Services.
Yeah, I have Ozzy at 13, which is like, yeah, I feel he's in a great spot. Whenever on this episode, when they were like having conversations about voting him off, I was like, there's no way, guys. Like, it's okay. Like, producers, it's okay to just let it happen how it is. But yeah, I put him at 13. And from here down, it's just kind of a shit show, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go my 14 is Mike White.
Okay. You thought about that one for a while. You were like,
ooh. Actually, no, I'm changing it. I'm going, I'm going to go Chrissy. I'm going to go Chrissy as my 14.
Chrissy was so quiet in this episode. That scares me so much because she was so quiet. She was the quietest of the old schoolers, I think. And by old school, I mean pre-40. I think she was the one who had the fewest confessionals of the pre-40 players, just surprises me because a lot of people had been clamoring for Chrissy to come back for a long time. And look, on Heroes, Healers, Hustlers, whether you loved her or not, she was always good for a confessional, that's for sure. I mean, she always had something to say about everything that was going on that island. So it feels like she, you know, we've been talking about the fact that episode 3 is probably going to have a tribe swap. The episode is called, you know, Did You Vote for a Swap? But she feels like she needs one. This does not feel like a good starting tribe for her based on how everything was going in this episode. It feels like she was definitely on the outs a little bit. I don't have her much lower than you have her. I mean, now we're into the back half, so anything could happen. But I do hear what you're saying here with Chrissy, where it's like, you know, quiet, still useful, good at puzzles. You know, the women, you have the other three women all teaming up. Does that mean they should try to get Chrissy on their side? Yeah. I mean, it could be feasible.
Oh yeah. It's just so tough because we don't really have a clue on what else is happening over there. Mm-hmm. So,
all right. Well, my 15, I go Charlie. Another one who didn't really say much this episode, kind of was just like commenting on some things, a couple narration pieces. Yeah. We didn't get into his Swifty love or anything like that. Like, he was quiet. He was very, very quiet. Ultimately, again, this Teal Tribe, I'm just kind of getting these people out of the way because I don't feel like they're going to lose.
Yeah.
He is the person that I have ranked sixth on this tribe, and I have him at 15. Like, that just tells you how high I am on this tribe at this point.
Yeah.
But Charlie's still dangerous, right? People still feel like he, you know, they treat him like a winner. The same way they treat Genevieve like a winner, you treat Charlie like a winner. Put him at 15. We'll see what ends up happening. I got to get more information from here. He didn't show his work. And on Tuesday at 6 p.m. With Clyde from Survivor Analytics, I'm doing the second episode of our prop bet game, which is now a week. Question thing. And one of the questions I added, if you're playing in that game, you can go, that's open to everybody. It's over on Real TV Fantasy. One of the questions I added this week was, who's going to get zero confessionals in this episode? Like, which players? Charlie feels like one of the players who could hit that this week because he was really, really quiet here. And him and Tiffany didn't even have anything going on, which was really surprising because they're on the same tribe. Yeah. They played on the same season. Like, and there was nothing about that. So I can see Charlie getting overshadowed a little bit in this episode.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what's happening, to be honest. This is wild to have so many people out there. There's just, yeah, it's
they
a
should whole have done it happening. Like, they should have done it like a Royal Rumble, Mitch, where we could have had all 24 on the island at one time and just be like, all right, go vote. Let's see what happens.
Can you imagine? Okay. Number 15 for me. Oh, shoot. I'm going to go with Serene.
Okay.
I think she has gotten her footing in the game enough where even if they lose, she's not going home. Which is crazy to say, but the fact that she didn't go home the first episode when it made the most sense for the dumb to send her, I feel like she's going to be good for at least a vote, which is crazy because the only person who I haven't said from that tribe is Savannah, which it would be stupid to vote her out, but she's the only one who like doesn't have someone out there super close. Like, I feel like, yeah, which sucks. But I'm going to say 15 is Suri.
I have Suri lower, but I have the same bottom two here of Suri and Savannah.
Yeah.
And to kind of spoil why I have Savannah lower than Suri, because I also do. The reason why is they were so focused on voting unanimously. Well, if Ozzy and Suri aren't going to vote for each other, what does that mean?
Yeah.
That means that you're not going to vote for Joe. You're not going to vote for Emily. You're not going to vote for Christian. You're not going to vote for Devins. Savannah's the only one left. And all she has is a block of vote. And they all know that she went on this journey and came back and essentially said she got nothing, which nobody believes.
Yeah.
And they don't know her game and they know she won. Yeah. Coming into this episode, you might be like, well, Savannah's probably in a good spot. She actually had like a pretty big episode. I don't know anymore. So yeah, I don't have Suri yet though. Let's get Jay Burn Aquatic here with a super chat. Happy season 50, Mitch King. I'm rooting for final three Colby win against Coach and Jonathan. My team is all men except, all men, Mike, Charlie, Ozzy, and Christian. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm confused by the last part of that, but there we go. All men final three.
As wow, Mitch how dare earlier. You say yeah. that? You must be a terrible person.
Yeah, as Mitch said earlier. As Mitch said earlier, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I'm backtracking. Yes, Jayburn, if you're joining now, you don't understand the joke there. Good to see you back. It's been a while, but Mitch said that at the beginning of the episode. So
I could see him happening.
Yeah. Me too. All right, who do you have at 16? Get back ahead of me.
All right. Yeah, 16. I'm going back with the Blue Tribe. I'm saying Charlie. I feel like Charlie is one or two spots above Mike White. I think he is incredibly helpful having on that tribe, but I feel like Jonathan and Coach are significantly closer than so I think Charlie isn't exactly in the mix yet. And I feel like if he was, that might have been shown with him and Tiffany. But I put Charlie at 16, and then 17, I have Mike White.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I hear what you're saying with Charlie. I mean, we both had Coach and Jonathan in our top five, so we're both assuming that they're just more valuable to everybody over there than Charlie is. So Charlie didn't really do anything in this episode that made me feel one way or the other. You know, when you're trying to balance 24 people, it makes sense. Some people are going to be overshadowed, but Charlie was definitely one of those. At 16 for me, I'm going with Q. And I know I'm the first one to mention Q here, but I do feel like Q is ultimately going to get by just because Angelina and Aubrey are on the wrong side here.
Yeah.
And maybe Q gets into a little bit of trouble because he did stay at Exile for so long and all of that. But I feel like Q is going to be okay because Aubrey and Angelina are there. And right now, you don't know if Swap is coming if you're out there.
Yeah.
So you just lost Kyle. Stephanie and Colby are not going to say, let's get rid of Q. Now, I know Colby doesn't have a vote, but there's no way Stephanie and Colby are getting on board with that. And I think Genevieve and Rizzo would also be like, why would we want to purposefully make ourselves the disaster tribe?
Yeah.
So I got Q at 16. And then at 17, I have Chrissy. I think that Chrissy was just super quiet. I mean, that's the only reason I have her here at 17. She just didn't say enough for me to you know, feel confident in her one way or the other. You know, it feels like she wants to play the game. I think her one confessional was like, I want to play the game more strategically, but I don't feel like I can right now. I feel like I have to just wait, which is not the game that Chrissy wants to play. Although in her first season, Chrissy did get off to a really poor start and ends up almost winning the season. So maybe that could happen again here. And then I'll go and do my 18 because it's Camilla. So I have Camilla as the lowest person from the Teal Tribe. Still have her higher than two people from Orange and two people from Purple. The main reason for Camilla is Dee and Tiffany seem like they're really tight. And I could see Dee and Tiffany playing on back-to-back seasons. You know, you're in that same cycle. Maybe they've
met each
other. They're friends. It's a big deal, right?
Yes, it is.
And then you have Charlie, Coach, Jonathan, Mike White. I could see them all saying, let's do this. Let's stay physical. Chrissy is so good at puzzles. You probably could choose between Chrissy and Camilla, which is why I have Chrissy and Camilla as my last two. And I think that on that tribe, I think that they probably lean more towards Chrissy's energy than Camilla's energy. Yeah,
which sucks, but
yeah. So that's why I have Camilla at 18. So Chrissy 17, Camilla 18, and then I'll get into my bottom four here in a second.
Okay. For 18, I have Q. I can't see him going home over a couple of other people on his tribe. So he's at 18 for me. And I'll let you take it from
me. Okay. So 19, I have Suri. finally getting to her. And my reason for putting Ceri at 19 is just that, why, if you keep losing, why keep Ceri in the game? Like, I just don't get it. And that's what happened in Heroes versus Villains. They kept losing. So they eventually said, we'll just get rid of Ceri. It just makes the most sense. Like, what are we doing? And even though that was a minority vote, all it took was one or two people to figure that out. Well, you're down to seven people on this try. Seven people. Ceri went home with seven people, or eight people last time. She went home with eight people last time. But seven people, you're down in numbers a little bit here. And maybe you say, I don't really care if Ozzy's happy or mad. Maybe Ozzy is pissing you off. And you say, let's just vote out Ceri because Ozzy's better for challenges. I just think it's crazy to keep keeping Ceri around. I'm happy about it. I like Ceri, so I'm not like angry, but I just think it's crazy to keep keeping Ceri around if you have a chance to vote her out. So if you're orange and you lose, why are you giving the person who is the guaranteed winner, if she sits at final three, no matter what she does, why are you giving her a free pass to keep going? So that's why I have her at 19.
Yeah. So I got off on my numbering way early at number four. So please don't hate me because I just screwed up your whole chart.
But
it's in order. I just didn't order them correctly. So my actual 20 here is Savannah.
Wait, but who's your 19?
My 19 is Q. And 18 is Mike, 17 is Charlie, 16 is Ceri, 15 is Chrissy, 14 is Ozzy, 13 is Rizzo, 12 is Genevieve, 11 Stephanie, 10 is Colby, 9 is Camilla, 8 is Dee, 7 is Emily, 6 is Tiffany, and 5 is Rick Devins. He's the one who got.
Oh, you forgot Devins. Okay, gotcha.
So my apologies for jacking up some of those numbers, aka
everybody,
all of them.
Yeah, everybody's about to be like, "Hey, Phil, when are you having Mitch on the podcast again?" And I'm like, "Never,
never again." He can't count.
Yeah, he just made me redo my entire numbering. Actually, not that bad. And I do it with pen and paper, man. So, you know, I'm over here. I don't do it in a fancy Excel or anything. I'm old. All right. So your 20 is Savannah.
Yes. I think if that group on the orange tribe are going again, it's her. Like, which sucks, and it does not make sense, because if I was there, it would probably have been Ceri, but because of all the previous relationships, I think it's her.
Yeah, I feel like Savannah is really good at challenges, and we know that, but they don't know that. They don't know that she won four immunities. And she actually says it in this episode. I told them I won, but I'm not going to tell them that I won four immunities. I actually think it would benefit her to tell them that. Because right now they're looking for any reason to vote you out, and you're on an island with people who are really, really good at challenges.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I feel like her going on the journey was the worst thing that could have happened to her. Because she's coming back and she's lying to them, and they're seeing through it. I think she's in trouble. I'll finish mine out.
Yeah.
So that you can have the final honors here. I go Aubrey at 20, Savannah at 21, and then Angelina at 22. Aubrey had the really bad moment with Genevieve, but I keep saying Aubrey's first season, her first episode was awful. It was absolutely awful. She had the breakdown. She was crying. She didn't want to be there. And she almost wins the season. Many people feel that she should have. They're wrong because Michelle's the queen, but they all thought that she should have. Savannah, we've already talked about a lot. And then Angelina, I don't want to call Angelina disappointing from episode one, because it's not Angelina. Angelina just wasn't really there. And that tribe was focused on quite a good deal.
Yeah.
And Angelina almost felt like, who's this normal woman who's impersonating Angelina? Like, why is the Angelina we've been waiting for since season 37 not being silly and ridiculous on her tribe. Like, why are you now a mature adult? Stop this. And so I feel like, I don't know if she didn't give what the editors wanted or what, but she was quiet and they cut out her negotiation or attempt at a negotiation, which I feel like would have been a fun wink to the audience of like, yeah, Angelina's leaning into it, but at the same time, we're going to lean in and have fun with it too.
Yeah. Yeah. 21 and 22, I have Angelina and Aubrey. So 21 at Angelina and 22 is Aubrey. I think with there only being so few votes over there, I think Q might be able to get Rizzo to go after Aubrey. And after Genevieve and hers interaction, I think Aubrey could be in trouble. But I have a feeling that tribe is going back that tribe is going to tribal for the first time. Mm-hmm. And it has to be one of those two, I think.
Yeah, I know that in the preview for this week's episode at the end, they show the orange tribe at tribal. It's from last tribal council, just so everybody's aware. It's Rick Devins and Christian dipping their torches in. You don't do that at your second tribal council you go to. So it was, people were like, oh my God, they're showing, like, they're spoiling it, whatever. No, they didn't. So I'm in agreement with you. I think purple goes. I think losing Kyle's a big blow. I think, look, Colby's old, man. Like, he's not what he used to be. That's why Kyle got hurt. He had to go back down to help Colby. And so I do feel like that tribe probably goes. Why Aubrey over Angelina? Why do you think it's Aubrey instead of Angelina?
Aubrey, I think Aubrey is significantly more of a strategic threat. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Colby and Stephanie and Rizzo and Q aren't necessarily big strategic players. So I could see it as a really good opportunity to take her out.
I feel like this is a good point from A. Cook over here. I want Aubrey to win, but I feel like not showing her as the day one target saved by Kyle going home hurts those chances big time. We've seen this a lot in past seasons, like with Nick Wilson when Pat got injured. And, you know, sometimes like when Chrissy was almost saved by Katrina, just like not fitting in. And, you know, the story was about Chrissy instead of Katrina. They didn't give Aubrey kind of that, oh, thank God, this is what I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I still feel like it's Angelina over Aubrey. And my main reason is just that Angelina is not really useful for challenges and an Aubrey in a way where Aubrey will be. Yeah. And that is a tribe that needs a puzzle maker. Q's not that.
Yeah,
they don't definitely not have that. Them. Yeah. So Aubrey needs to be there for that.
Yeah.
You could see it either way though. So
I like it.
All right. Well, we kind of went through this faster than I thought we would, but my next question to you is, who do you think wins the season? You had to come on first last season too and say who you thought was going to win. And I don't remember what you said, but wait, I have it. Hang on. You said Rizgod was going to be the winner of last season after episode one.
Hey, I was pretty close up there.
You were pretty close.
I think right now after this first episode, I think the person who's sitting in the best position with really good experience and hungry for a win is Joe Hunter. He's coming off of, as he said, he got pantsed on national TV, you know, and I feel like he learned a lot out there. So I'm going to go with someone from season 48. I'm going to go with Joe.
I'm very surprised you went that route, Mitch. I really am, you know. But I think it makes sense. Like I've been saying the whole time, I feel like Joe has a chance to win. He's one of the few people who sat at a final tribal and lost that I feel like has a chance to win. Yep. Who would you be absolutely shocked if they won? And it doesn't have to just be one person, but like a couple people maybe that you're like, there's no way they're pulling this out.
Respectfully, there are a few of them who I just don't think like have a shot in hell. Mm-hmm. I don't think Ozzy has a shot. I don't think Sari has a shot. I don't think Q has a shot. Like, I just think there's no way for them to get to the end. Mm-hmm. So because of that, like, I don't think they have a shot to bring it home. But if by some crazy reason they're able to get there, then hand it over to them for sure.
Yeah, no, I know. And that's how I feel. Like, even if Sari sits at the end, Sari could do nothing. She could vote wrong every time.
Yeah.
Sari could like insult everybody's family members. She's still going to win the game. It doesn't matter. Like, she wins the game if she sits at the end. So yeah, we'll see what happens there. I mean, I feel like we're in kind of agreement on those. To me, coming out of that first episode, the people who looked really good were Devins, Christian, Joe, Genevieve, Stephanie, Emily. I think those were the ones that I was really like, wow, like, they're here. They're playing. I want to say Colby, but I'm such a fan of Colby that it's ridiculous at this point, you know?
I think what's going to be really interesting is like what new elements are added. Mm-hmm. Because like all of these people have played multiple times. They've seen probably every episode. So it's like, you have to mix it up a little bit just to keep all of these really good players on their toes.
Yeah. I mean, we know there's a lot coming. I mean, we had two journeys, Exile Island. We had, you know, an extra twist after they win the supplies. We had, you know, Mike White showed up at a journey just to turn around and go home.
Yeah, that was wild.
We have a lot of things. So there's definitely going to be some format changes, I'm sure, throughout. And I'm sure we're going to get to some double boots coming up pretty soon, because you got to get through. It worked out for them that Kyle went out in episode one, because you had to get through 24 people in 26 days and 13 episodes. That's not an easy task. So, what else? Do you have anything else going on, or anything else you want to say about the season before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I think something you gotta talk about is like, there are a lot of really good players out here, but ultimately, as a player, like, you have no control over the people you're on an original tribe with. So it is really interesting seeing all of these really good players have to like work through this early like part, and like sometimes in Survivor, it's more important to be lucky than good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the starting tribes are always one of the toughest. I mean, like, just look at that purple tribe. Kyle gets hurt. Who knows what that means for all of them now? Like, if they had started on a different tribe, they might have a different outcome. Like, who knows? So, yeah, I do hear you on that for sure. And the starting tribes are definitely delivering so far, but we'll see how that goes in this episode.
Another interesting fact to bring up. I'm pretty sure the last three winners, no, from, yeah, from 47, 48, and I think 49, all of those winners came from the same beach, which is the Orange Beach.
Okay. See, that's the behind the scenes stuff that, you know, if you played, but if you're just watching as a fan, you have absolutely no idea. But okay, so that would mean that Joe can win. So you're right.
Yeah. And whenever we swap tribes, whenever we had the split tribal council, Joe was on that beach. So he has already played there.
I love that. So I picked Devin's before the season began. I made a good pick. It's either so you now know it's one of those seven people who are like, now it's not even a question anymore. That's funny. That's the behind the scenes of what shooting in the same three locations on Fiji is really all about, you know.
Was there like anything from this episode that that you like were expecting?
The Exile Island I thought was awesome.
Oh yeah.
I was not expecting that at all, because we've seen these fight for supplies challenges so many times. I was not expecting the two people who got left behind to just have to spend the night and then figure out one of you is going to take the supplies but lose your vote. The other one's going to get an extra vote. I thought that was a fun twist. I hate lost votes, but I thought that was a fun twist. I thought they put a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of thought into that section. I thought that was great. From a player perspective, it's all Genevieve. I can't believe how much of an impact Genevieve had. I thought Genevieve was going to be Purple Genevieve. I mean, she was quiet in the beginning of her season. She's coming out here. She's the only 47 player. Clearly, production doesn't like 47 as much as the rest of the fan base, because they put only one person on the show. And
well, yes, I feel like a few of them were also potentially going to be on season 50, but ended up getting cut at some point, like
very close too. I feel like there's a couple people there. Like, I'm hopeful that in future seasons we will see Andy, Sam. Honestly, I hope Genevieve just plays a third time. I mean, why not? I feel like there's a lot of potential there with the 47 cast and a lot of
absolutely.
But you know, I thought she was going to be overshadowed, and she just wasn't. I mean, she was arguably the star of the Purple Tribe. It's like, what is that?
She was.
I not have that on my bingo card.
Oh man. Whenever the episode started and they went through all of those like iconic moments, and then just getting to hear from a few people was so powerful. Like, just watching Jeff ask everyone like those questions that he's so good at doing. And then honestly, whenever he asked it was just so powerful. Because like, you have watched her like play and have such a wild journey, and like, you know how much it means to her, and also like how much it probably means to all of us getting to see her on season 50. And as she was answering that question, like, you could see everybody next to her, like, also get so emotional, because like, truly, like, just getting to have this experience and play Survivor, it's a dream come true for each of us. And like, I can only imagine like how much it meant to everyone out there.
Well, and with the Cerise speech, I mean, I was, you know, that one got me emotional too. You got Colby standing there. Colby voted her out. And you got Colby standing there saying, you got this. And then you got Ozzy, who was blindsided by Cerise with an idol in his pocket, crying during it. Yeah. I mean, it really was awesome. And I think, you know, they've been talking about nonstop, they want this to be a celebration of Survivor. Yeah. That episode felt like a celebration of Survivor. And I appreciate that. And I love that. And like, when I think, I always love clip montages, right? I like that for movies. Yeah. I like that for shows, like anything like that. That's the best. And I thought the way they started this episode with that clip montage, in which everything that happened, I just thought it was incredible. And I thought the speeches and the people they talked to on that opening mat and everything like that, they understand what the audience really wants. Now, granted, if Tiffany goes on to win the season and the final three is Tiffany, Charlie, and this isn't supposed to be knocking these people, it's like Tiffany, Charlie, Joe, and the audience is like, well, we wanted old schoolers. That's how Survivor goes. Like, Survivor goes where whoever gets there, gets there. But they knew they were in control of this premiere, and they knew what they had to do. Now, there was the theory circling of like, they just want to get their Emmy. Now they're not going to be as good after this. Well, they better stay damn good, because now the bar has been set.
It's set high as hell.
Yeah. So you better keep being good, because if you put your whole entire production budget into episode one and episode two, we're going, oh my God, what are we watching? Season 41 again? Then that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. I was just going to say something. Yeah, it was also really good just seeing everybody hype up season 50 the last few weeks, and then just like seeing everyone like actually say like really positive stuff, like on Instagram and Twitter, and it just was like, wow, like, you guys can say super supportive stuff. So
all right, well, let's wrap this one up then.
Yeah, so let's do it.
Light, go ahead.
Thank you for having me out. I truly am so grateful to get to catch up with you and talk about season 50, which is wild as hell. I am expecting this to be absolutely chaos as the season unfolds. And it's really good to see some of our absolute favorites back on the beach, as well as some new players who are trying to make their own new legacy out here. So give those new players a chance. All of them were selected for a reason. There have been like 700 plus people who have played, and they worked really hard to get this cast to 24. So like, please respect all of these players. Like, all of them have earned the opportunity to go out there. You might have wanted to see some other people. Of course, we all have some of those, but these are the people who are out there. So
this is what we got. So enjoy it while it's here. Well, like this video and subscribe to the channel. Tegwith will be live tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for her first episode of Matt Chat with Abby Maria.
Oh, so that's gosh, that'll off. Be great.
Yeah, that's how we're kicking off Matt Chat.
That's going to be incredible. Also, an encouragement to everyone listening. Please, if you're enjoying this season of Returners, please continue to hype it up so CBS wants to do more of them. Like, I know that it is probably something they're looking at. Like, are we wanting to do more of these? Mm-hmm. So even if the season doesn't play out how you want, if you want returning player seasons, like, don't trash season 50. Like, if you want more of these, then that is helpful if you're talking about this season.
That's a great point, everybody, because if you start saying we hate this, this is stupid, you're going to get, you know, 9 more seasons now in a row of newbies. And yep. I think the Survivor's at its best when it's mixing it up. Absolutely. I think that's when it's at its best. So we'll like this video, subscribe to the channel. On Tuesday, I will be live at 6 p.m. with Clyde from Survivor Analytics. We are going to be doing our prop bet predictions. So if you followed along last week when I did with Russell Muscle TV, we pretty much ask 10 questions and we give answers. Each answer is a player and you play along, and whoever gets the most points at the end of the season gets a custom Pop Funko from Todd Herzog. So only 3 points were scored in week 1. So if you're interested in playing, I advise you go and check out the link. It's open to everybody. You don't have to be a patron, but go check out the link in the Russell Muscle TV episode that we did last week. Otherwise, that's it. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please give us a like. And Mitch, always a pleasure. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, and I'm sure I'll see you somewhere soon.
Hopefully, yes. Also, sorry, Kyle, that we only mentioned the caked upness once. So,
he told me to tell you that he said hello.
Okay.
I was hanging out with him yesterday.
Good. Well, I say hi as well. I'm sad. You know, that's all. All right, everybody. We'll see you later.
Later, bud.